Blog Talk Radio.
Anger is a real and serious spiritual problem. And the Bible teaches believing ones how to address the problem of anger. And so we're going to look into the Word of God, both in the book of, we're going to look in the books of Proverbs and Nahum. Because there are some very important things I want to point out to you in the Old Testament about anger and the way the Old Testament views anger. The Old Testament uses concrete imagery or word pictures to communicate. It's very powerful messages. And so the concrete word pictures were chosen by God for a specific purpose. They are all very important. And so, therefore, it is imperative for us to listen to the Word of God, for us to hear of the Word of God, and with the idea of Deuteronomy 6:4, Shema, the Word of God, that which means to hear with a view to obeying. So, Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. In the New Testament, the word is akouo, akouo, and it means the same thing, to hear with a view to obeying. Both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, there is a frightening judgment on those who fail to hear the Word of God with a view to obeying it. And so let's start with the Old Testament word picture about anger. So the Old Testament, the word anger is communicated in a very interesting manner. I'm going to read to you from the book of Nahum first. This is Nahum chapter 1, verse 3, which reads, "The Lord is slow to anger and great in power. The Lord will not leave the guilty unpunished." So we read the words "slow to anger." Now, in the Hebrew, it literally reads "long of nose." "long of nose." And to be long of nose denotes patience. On the other hand, to be short of nose represents heat or hot, and it represents anger. So to be long nose is compassionate and means patience. To be short of nose means anger. So this is the Old Testament picture. And notice in Nahum is speaking about God's attitude toward persons. But eventually, when persons begin to take advantage of the Lord's patience and mercy and grace, inevitably a judgment comes in. But I'm speaking to believers now, because I want you to understand within the believing community that what the Word of God teaches us and says to us about anger. I'm going to read Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, which reads, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Now, this is a very powerful verse, and it teaches us something very important about what God wants you and I to know about the problem of anger. Now notice, a gentle answer turns away wrath. And so the Hebrew word here for wrath is kima. And kima is a feminine noun, which means it means burning anger. It also means heat and rage. So that is not to be something in which, as believing ones, we have in our lives. So, and it is important to notice that the Bible recognizes that we can answer an individual in a manner that de-escalates a situation instead of answering an individual in a way that exacerbates or escalates a matter in or situation into something very different. And so you and I want to understand that God wants us as believing ones to learn the self-discipline of answering in a gentle manner. Answer in a gentle manner. Okay, in other words, do not give the other party further, do not give them a further reason to continue on this angry path. Don't add more gasoline to the fire. Don't contribute something to a situation that is already tense with sin. Don't use the tongue in a sinful manner, in a destructive manner, because God sees this behavior. And understand what anger is. Anger is a demand imposed upon others by the angry person so that he or she can have or may have his or her way. Understand that. Understand that you should be aware, you should have the self-awareness or the self-understanding to know that you don't want to contribute to such a situation. You don't want to be in this position because you need time to step away, to relax, to consider what is going on. That would be the healthy way. Okay? Now notice, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A harsh word. So the word harsh means something that is painful, or a word pronounced with anger, a bitter, sharp word. You don't want to do that. You don't want to hurt a great relationship. You don't want to so hurt in a great marriage. You don't want to so hurt in a great relationship or a great friendship. You don't want to ruin a wonderful situation or relationship because for this brief period of time, you are angry. You don't want to say something that is hurting, that is cutting, that is biting, and that may push the relationship into an area where the friendship is ruined, or you hurt or break someone's heart by what you have said. Understand that at the bottom of anger is selfishness, And people do not recognize that at the bottom of anger is selfishness, and the foundation of it all, of all of this, is pride. Pridefulness. In other words, someone who is full of pride. Someone who is full of pride will say damaging and hurtful and ruinous things to another person. You and I, as believing ones, are to have sanctified tongues. Paul writes that we are not to use our members as instruments of unrighteousness. James writes that the tongue is a little member, but look what it does. It is a small member, but it can create great ruin and great destruction. And as a believing one, you don't want that in your life. We are always to be mindful of our Lord and our Savior and His calling upon our lives. God says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And we are called to be filled with the Spirit of God. And when the Spirit of God is in control of our lives, God directs our will, and part of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Self-control. And God will, if we have a problem with anger, the Holy Spirit will deal with that in our hearts so that we do not hurt ourselves spiritually, we do not hurt our fellowship with God, and we do not hurt those within our periphery, and we don't, when we become angry, we don't take out our anger on our husband or on our wife or on our children or some party that you feel is expendable in your life. Don't treat people in that manner. And don't use your husband. Something has gone wrong, and don't use your husband in an abusive manner. And husbands, don't use your wives in an abusive manner if you are angry. And most certainly, don't abuse your children verbally. God tells us that life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. You want those within your periphery to be healthy. You want those vital relationships healthy and built on love, and built upon the Word of God. Okay, and you want to have a sanctified tongue. You want to have an attitude that is honoring to God and to everyone. And you want to have gracious speech. You want to have speech that lifts up. You want to have speech that blesses. Not blasphemous speech, not abusive speech, not character assassinating speech, not speech that murders the heart or character of someone. That is not to be in our lives. We are to be those who are filled with the Spirit of God, that we may do the work of God while we are here. A gentle answer turns away wrath, a harsh word stirs up anger. So, beloved, let me say that there are persons who are too prideful to go and make sure a relationship is healed after he or she has said something awful. Then that's pride that will not let you go and heal a relationship. Until that relationship is healed, you better be aware of whether or not you're in fellowship with God, because I don't think so. Make sure that you have the humility to go and confess if you have wronged someone who is in Christ or otherwise. Good afternoon. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich, and God bless you.